This morning, our reading is from John 4. Chapter 4, there we go, verse 21 to 24. Give me a moment. Here we go. "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." Thanks, Steve.
Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are God who is moving, God who is speaking to us, God who is making yourself known. God, this morning, would you be speaking to us? Would you open our hearts and minds to hear what you have to say? God, as we come now to look more closely at the Bible and what you're calling us to, help us to put aside the things of this week and to look to you. Help us to trust you in this, that we might focus on you as Lord of all. And so, God, speak to us, move amongst us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we are going to take a pause in our series on John that you may believe, by looking at a passage in John. And the reason for this is that I want to remind us of who God is and who he is calling us to be as his people in our worship of him. And what this looks like in some of the day-to-day of our life, but also in our week-to-week practice as gathering together. Jesus, as we've just heard in this passage, is having a conversation with a Samaritan woman at a well. And Jesus makes the comment to her that a time is coming and has now come where all believers, the true worshippers of God, will worship God in spirit and in truth. This comes on the back of the woman trying to understand this this Jewish man coming and talking to her without a implement to be able to get water, saying, well, the person who drinks of the water that I give will never get thirsty again. And then this woman is trying to work out, well, how does this work if this is the case and you don't have anything to draw the water, and yet you're also telling me about worshiping God in spirit and truth, but we Samaritans worship here on the mountain, but you Jews say that we have to go to Jerusalem to worship in the temple, and that's the only worship that counts when we offer our sacrifices and offerings at that temple. And so this woman is in this conversation wanting to understand more of who Jesus is and what he is saying. Because when Jesus talks about this spring of water that will mean that we never get thirsty again, he's actually talking about the Holy Spirit. He's saying, I will give you the Holy Spirit, and as you live and walk in that, you will not hunger or thirst for God because you have God with you and you will be pressing into him. And so to worship God in spirit and in truth is for us to give God back what he has put in us and to lift him up, to adore and glorify him. Because to worship is this. You can define it this way, and it'll be on the screen for us. Worship, to adore and lift up someone or something and describe it as worthy. That when we worship something, we are ascribing worth to it. When we call someone your worship, we're showing respect to them and their position. We're saying we respect this level. We're saying you are worthy of the position that you're in. when we worship someone, we're saying we have great admiration and adoration for this person. When we worship a thing, we're saying, well, this is the thing that we say has great worth for us. So in worshiping God in spirit and in truth, we are saying to God, you are worthy. We are lifting you up and we want to see you praised and glorified and give you the worth that you are due. I mean, think on this. This is the God that we worship. The known universe is 28 billion light years across. That is, it would take 28 billion years traveling at the speed of light to travel from one side of the universe to the other side. And that is only the known universe, let alone what we know, we don't know beyond that. It is big. And yet, our God is bigger. He holds the universe in his hand. There's not one spheric of dust within our universe that God doesn't know about, that God doesn't know what is happening there. God is huge. This is the God we worship. God also created creation. Now, here are some staggering stats that I found in this week, just to blow our minds about the creativity of God. If you're wondering how many species of butterflies there are around 17,500 different types of butterflies. Looking at trees, there are around 73,000 species of trees in our world. There are 10,000 species of reptiles, and there are 250,000 to 400,000 species of flowering plants. That one's for Arnie. Our God is a creative God who has given this and gone, look how amazing and wonderful life and creation is. This is the God we worship. A God who is incredibly creative, who is incredibly big, and who is incredibly wonderful. But if this is not enough, just bear with me, take the human body. Now, most of our doctors aren't here this week, but take this from the MSD manual, which Google reliably informs me is one of the world's leading textbooks, medical textbooks. It says this in its introduction about the human body. The human body is a complex, highly organized structure made up of unique cells that work together to accomplish the specific functions necessary for sustaining life. The human body is a complex, highly organized structure made up of unique cells. God has created us incredibly. Francis Collins, who was head of the Human Genome Project, which was mapping human DNA, actually became a Christian as he was working on this project because he saw the complexity in it and said, there is no way that this can be anything but intelligent design. Within our eyes, we have over 100 million cells alone in these little things. There are 6 to 7 million cones to help us to see and define colour properly. When our bones break, our bodies work hard to repair them, to protect and reform the bones. From blood clots to prevent further infection in the area, to new bone cells, to a complex process of our bones relayering themselves over a period of 12 to 18 months to ensure strength and stability in them. Let alone the natural daily functions that happen within our body that keep us healthy within this. Our God has made us amazingly well. This is the God we worship, the God who is so big, who is so creative, and yet has made it so that it all works together. Not only is this our God, who is above all, but our God, as we celebrated last week at Easter, is the God who came to be with his people, to do what we couldn't do in living the perfect life, to bear the punishment that we deserved, to rise again to show us his grace and victory, that we might freely walk in relationship with this God who holds the universe, who created all the species of flowers and trees and mammals and butterflies and insects and reptiles, who created us that we might know his love. Not only this, he then gives us the Holy Spirit to empower us to be his people. This is the God we worship. He is worthy of all our praise. He is worthy of us adoring and glorifying him, ascribing to him the greatest worth. So this is our God. So what does it mean then for us to worship God in spirit and in truth, as we heard Jesus say? Well, Colin Cruz, in his commentary on John, notes that it is far easier to describe in the negative sense what it is to, or what it's not to worship in the spirit and in spirit and in truth, than it is to define what worship in spirit and in truth is. See, what Jesus clearly says in this passage is that no longer is worship tied to a place. That it's not on the mountain for the Samaritans and no longer in the temple in Jerusalem. But it is about God's people coming humbly to him wherever they are and looking to him. In Jeremiah 2:3, when the prophet is speaking God's word, he says this, that God has called his people out from turning their back on the living water, him. Remember, we had living water in this passage as well as the Holy Spirit. That God, Jesus is saying, come and receive the Holy Spirit. God has said, you've turned your back on the living water and you are relying on yourselves. This is what he says in Jeremiah 2. So to worship God in spirit and in truth is not just about where are we worshiping God, but actually, no, in worshiping God, we're looking to him in everything. We're no longer relying on ourselves. We're trusting God in every situation. It is empowered by the Holy Spirit at work in us for us to say, God, we are looking to you. So what does this look like in practice? Well, let me give us 5 quick tips about the day-to-day and our weekly gathering, about what it might look like for us to be worshiping in spirit and in truth. By no means is this the exhaustive end of the list as well. First off, to worship God in spirit and in truth doesn't mean that we are happy, clappy, everything is awesome all the time. It means that we trust God with everything. It is trusting and worshiping God in the good and the bad. Not like we're saying, yes, everything is awesome, but my life is falling apart, but God, everything's awesome. No, we're being honest. We're saying, God, I'm in the midst of this, but I am still looking to you. I am still trusting you. I might not know what's going on in this situation, but God, you are the God of all. And so I can look to you and trust you and worship you as the King within this. As a society, we are not good at this. Our world does not know how to lament and grieve and process emotions well. And yet, if we look in the Bible at the book of Psalms, most of those songs aren't actually praises of God. They're cries out to God in the midst of pain and suffering and turmoil going on in their life. It is the psalmist saying, God, we're looking to you because everything is falling apart and I've got nothing. Where the heck are you? We've even got a book in the Bible called Lamentations, where it is literally most of the chapters are the people of God calling out to God, saying, God, look at this situation. Everything's a mess. Jeremiah himself is often known as the weeping prophet because things are so bad that he just has to cry out to God the whole time. We don't have to pretend that everything is awesome to worship God. God wants us to come to him with everything that we have, not putting on a mask, not saying, things are good this week, God. No, God knows exactly what is going on in our life. He knows the sickness that we're going through. He knows the struggle in our relationships. He knows the challenges that we're having at work. He knows what's going on, what our desires are that we're not seeing, what we're just struggling with. He knows it. He doesn't want you to come and pretend everything is awesome. He wants you to come and go, man, God, everything is really hard at the moment and this sucks and I'm really angry about this, but I'm going to choose to trust you. God wants us to be real with him. Worshipping God in spirit and in truth is being real with God and saying, God, I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I'm struggling. I don't know how much I've got left, God, but I'm going to choose to trust you. God, I'm laying this at your feet and I'm calling to you. So maybe you don't feel like worshiping God through song. Cool. That's okay. You don't have to. Do you know what? God wants you to worship him through bringing your emotions to him. Being real with him and saying, yeah, God, this is what I'm feeling. But I know you're bigger than all of this. And the other thing about worshiping God, not being happy clappy all the time, means that we don't have to pretend with our non-Christian friends either that everything is awesome, that just because we follow God, life is great. No, actually, we can be real with them as well and say, yeah, life's tough at the moment. I'm struggling. But you know what? I can still look to God in the midst of this. I can still trust him to be who he says he is. So worshiping God in spirit and in truth is about trusting him in everything, not being happy clappy all the time. The second thing for us this morning, to worship God in spirit and in truth, we must be seeking to know God more and more. That if we truly want to worship God, then we need to know him more and more. That it can't just be about what are we feeling in this day, but actually who is the truth of who God is. That we can go back to some of those big things about God, that he's bigger than this 28 billion light year universe, that he's the God who has created so many different species and types of things that all function to keep our world healthy, that he's made our bodies in a way that actually there is there for health and restoration and wholeness for us. If we want to worship God in spirit and in truth, then we need to be growing in him. We need to cultivate time to be with him, to build our relationship with him. Spend time reading the Bible about how God has acted through the ages, his written revelation of himself for all eternity. Go through the Gospels and study who Jesus is. Read the history of the way that God has been at work throughout history from the Bible times and before to now. Read about some of the revivals that God has done amongst his people in the world. But seek to know God and the way that he is at work, that we might worship him in spirit and in truth. Third thing for us, third tip, worship God through adoring him. As we adore God, as we think about things that we can give thanks for every day, this actually empowers us to lift our eyes to God no matter what we're going through in life. We consciously, no matter our situation, as we look for something to give thanks to God for, lift our eyes from what we see in front of us, the mountains that are in our mind, and look to God, the God who is above all. Now, this can be the tiniest glimmer of hope that we've had in our day. And God, thanks for that little ladybug that I saw that just made me smile. Thanks for that little breath of wind, that little glimmer of sunshine. To the biggest things. God, thank you for the way that you stilled my tongue in that conversation when I really wanted to say that thing, but I knew that I shouldn't, but you helped me through it. To God, thank you for the way that you provided for this job for me. God, thank you for the way that you've pulled my family or my friends through this situation. Find the things that you can give thanks to God for in each and every situation. The little glimmers to the big glimmers. A couple of years ago, I spent a year thinking about joy and celebrating and how do we do this well in our lives. And one of my key reflections from that year is that as we celebrate the small things, It actually empowers us to better celebrate the big things. That when we worship God in the little things, it empowers us to worship God in the big things. So this week, find something each day that you can give thanks to God for. Find the little glimmer of hope that you've seen to say, God, yeah, thank you that even in the midst of what I'm going through, you are here. Because cultivating this attitude of adoration and thanks to God means that, well, we're consciously learning to go, no matter our situation, I'm lifting my eyes to God. I'm lifting up my eyes to the Lord who is above everything. Linked with this is our fourth tip for this morning. Moments of pause in our day. Where we take time throughout our day, through the hustle and bustle of life, to stop and take a breath and be with God. These don't have to be long pauses in our day. I'm not saying you have to spend an hour praising God in the middle of your day. But these are moments throughout our day that help us to go, yeah, this isn't about me, this is about God, that I can lift my eyes to Him. The Sabbath was created for humanity to know that it is not about us and our work, but it is about us being with God. The Israelites, when they entered into the promised land, were commanded to keep the Sabbath, not because it was just a good idea, but because it was a reminder to them that it was no longer about them being enslaved, but they are free in God and they are to look to Him and trust in Him. It's no longer about what our hands can produce, but about who God is and who He calls us to be. And so taking moments of pause throughout our day actually is the same idea. That we're going, in the midst of everything that is going on in my life, I could look to my friends' achievement, my work, my possessions, all of that stuff for my identity. But no, I'm going to look to you, God. So set some times this week to pause and reflect, to take a breath in the day and go, God, I'm looking to you. You are Lord of all. Help me to walk praising you. To take a minute to sit in His presence. To just go, God, thank you. Would you speak to me? And maybe you do this at the end of a meeting. As you're walking out of that meeting, you just stop and pause and say, God, thank you that you are with me in this. Maybe as you get to each of the end of the train lines, you stop, take a breath, give thanks to God and start walking up the other train line again. Find the moments to pause in your day and lift your eyes to God. That we might find our identity in Him as Lord of all. And that we might live our lives reflecting and glorifying Him. And the last thing for us this morning is this. That as we gather together as the people of God each week, come expectant. Come expecting that as we gather to worship and praise God as His people, God is going to move. God wants to be with His people. God wants us to know Him and to love Him. And so as we gather together, come expecting God to move. Come expecting that God is going to do great things. I mean, when we come to church, are we expecting God to move? Or are we coming out of habit and practice and because we think it's what we're supposed to do? Do we actually hunger for God to meet with us in this place? Or are we just coming because we want to catch up with our friends and praising God is a good idea too? Now, don't hear me wrong on this. We do this in fellowship. We come together as God's people, and it is good to be God's people in this. And it is good to journey in life together with this. But when we gather together, it is not about us just catching up on our weeks. The first and foremost and primary reason that we come together is to praise and worship God. And I love that our church family is a family, that we want to know about what's going on in one another's life. We want to care for one another. We want to catch up. But in our service is not necessarily the time for that. You want to do that? Awesome. Come at 9:50 or 9:30. Catch up with one another. But be ready at 10 o'clock when our service is starting to go, yeah, I am pressing into God and I'm going to be in my seat ready to be praising God together as his people. That I'm not going to be up the back just having a conversation while the worship band is starting to get us roped together. But actually, no, I'm going to be up the front ready for them, ready to go, yeah, I want this. And then after the service, we can catch up as well. But let's make it a priority that as we gather together, we are coming expectant. Not because this is a practice that we've done for however many years, but no, because we want to meet with God in this. And this might mean that you need to do a couple of things. You might need to get up earlier so that you can get to church earlier to be on time. But it also might mean that you need to get up earlier to prepare your heart to meet with God, to spend some time praying, going, God, I want you to move in our church today. I want you to move in our service. That as we gather to praise and worship you, God, I want to see you move. I want to know you more today. I'm going to press into this. And during our service, stay engaged. I'll say this. It's not holier up the front. There's not some special anointing that just the first couple of rows, they get it. But it is easier to stay focused when you are in the front few rows because you don't have all the distraction of everyone else behind you. It's easier to stay and pay attention to what is happening up the front. And when you find your mind wandering, and it will wander, that's okay. Go, oh, I'm noticing that I'm wandering. God, help me to come back to you. Help me to pay attention to you. Because church, I don't want us to be satisfied with just a bit. I want us to be pressing into God week by week, growing and learning in him, worshiping God with all that we are, and day by day growing in our understanding and discipleship of him. Because there is so much more that God has for us. So let's come expectant together. Let's be helping one another to praise and worship God. Let's be ready at 10 o'clock each week to praise God. That we're in our seats going, God, we are ready for you to move and we are hungry. That we might worship in spirit and in truth. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are a God who loves us. We thank you for Jesus and the fact that he has lived the life that we couldn't, that we might be freely in relationship with you through his death and resurrection. God, help us in our lives to know the wonder of you. God, help us day by day to worship you in spirit and in truth, to know you more and more each day, to spend time with you, to look for ways that we can adore you and give you thanks. Help us to take the moments of pause to lift our eyes to you. And God, may we as a church hunger for you in all that we do. God, we want to lift you up with the worthiness that you deserve. Because God, we are astounded by your love.